a perfected motion on the board? Discussion on the motion as perfected? Okay. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for adjourning last night when you did. I wish it had been a couple hours earlier, but yesterday's discussion really underscores the difficulty that we're having putting this amendment together. And it's deeply troubling to me that this council now seems prepared to ignore the consensus recommendations of the Herring PDT. And I know they spent an incredible amount of time developing the options, doing the analysis, all of which the committee and the council have requested. And I know that because one of my staff members is on the PDT, and I take his advice very seriously. And to the point where now I'm questioning the value of his future participation on the PDT. If we're not going to listen to what he has to say, the PDT has to say, then why invest state dollars? But I strive in both the council and in the commission process to make my decisions based on the best scientific advice available. And I know this is true of everyone in this room and in the commission as well. But that being said, we're going to move ahead with including catch caps in this document. And there isn't time for another committee meeting to perfect the issues, the devil in the detail issues that make a tremendous amount of difference for both the fish and the fishermen. Not only for the catch cap, but importantly for the slippage section, which we've glossed over yesterday. So I'm urging the council to vote this down, this motion down. I don't know if these numbers are right or wrong. We made them up last night at 8:30. They could be bad, they could be good, but by doing that, we're still going to move the concept ahead. It can go out to public hearing. There's time to regroup, to incorporate the public comments, reinvest the PDT in ourselves and come up with a catch cap that has some meaning to it. I think we can keep it in the document and do it that way without, here's something, it's too high, it's too low. I mean, it isn't going to be the type of comments that we need to be productive in this document.
Thank you, Terry. Anyone else? Dr. Pearson.
I'm not going to repeat everything I said yesterday. I said it once, so I'm not going to say it again, although sometimes I do say things more than once. Not in this particular case. What I reflect on are the goals and objectives of the Amendment 5 catch monitoring program shown on page 3 and 4 of our document. I spent a lot of time working with the Herring Committee to craft these goals and objectives. We factored in a major way, the need for us to work with the fishing industry for the betterment of the fishery itself and, of course, for the resource. And I am going over those objectives again. I see that the emphasis is on fostering support by the herring industry and others concerned about accurate accounts of catch and bycatch that is a well-designed, credible program. And the other aspects of this set of goals and objectives gives me further reason to conclude that going forward with numbers that really are not based on good science but are based on extrapolations of past catches, of believed catches of river herring from the sea herring fishery is just unwise and counterproductive to our goals and objectives. So once again, I'm going to vote against the motion.
Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I feel a little like Frodo when he said, I know what I must do, I just don't know if I can do it. And I think that's where we are with this. We clearly need to take some action on river herring, but it would be clearly wrong to take the wrong action. So I agree with Terry. I think we need to vote this down, but I don't think we need to abandon it. We need to do something about river herring. River herring are a vitally important species to the estuarine ecosystems. that one of the major ways that nutrients return from the sea to the estuaries, where so many of our commercially important fish species spawn, including the black-back flounder, which is vitally important to my state. So we need to keep going, but I don't want to continue to be in Frodo's position. We need to know what we're doing, and we don't right now.
Thank you, Frodo. Anyone wishing to speak in favor of the motion? Pat?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. These numbers are based on the only information we have. They're based on the best information available. I think they're a place to start. They may not be the right numbers, but lacking better information, at least it's a starting point. And I don't know that I would support continuing inclusion of this in the final document, frankly, but I do think it needs to be one of the alternatives that continues to be considered and that goes through the public hearing process.
Against? Against the motion? In favor? Doug, are you against?
I'm going to vote against it. But I wanted to ask a question, Mr. Chairman, just to refresh me from last night. If this goes down, what is the motion that we passed earlier that we would be left with? Is it that we would be looking at waiting for the stock assessment to occur and that we'd be looking at potentially addressing a catch cap in the future? Is that where we're at if this goes down?
Yeah, my memory says that we did have a motion. I think Sally made the motion. The council passed it as an alternative. We would wait for the stock assessment from ASMFC and then take action.
Okay, so we have that. So we would have some placeholder in the document to discuss and get public comment on a catch cap still. If this, another, just a follow-up, if this motion passes, one of the things that I pointed out last night that was in the PDT report was that they said they recommended this potentially could be used as a trigger in their statement. So if this passes, what I'd like to do is put guidance in the document that this would be a trigger that would implement one of the river herring protection areas and use that as a guidance for it, because I think we have the BDT indicating that they would be comfortable with using these numbers for that.
So just so I'm clear, you're saying if this were to pass, you would then move to link this, call this a trigger and link it to another action?
It would be an option, another option in the habitat protection area section of the document. In the river herring protection section of the document.
Okay. Thank you, Doug. Anyone wishing to speak in favor? In favor? In favor of the motion? David?
Well, sort of in favor, maybe. I might be in favor of this motion if it said what was going to happen when this arbitrary number was reached. For example, if it triggered increased monitoring, that would to get better data, as an example. That would be something I could support. If it's a cap that just shuts down the fishery based on a number that I don't believe, I mean, we could pick a number with a Ouija board. It would probably be just as good. And I call your attention to Appendix C in Document 10, which is the comparison of the river herring catches and CVs from Method 1 and 2. And it uses a log transform scale to even get the stuff on the same graph. So it just shows you how variable these numbers are. In other words, how little confidence anybody has in them. I can't support a catch cap that shuts down a fishery based on a number that I don't believe is remotely accurate. But I could support something that requires increased monitoring to get better information, something like that. Because, like I said, these these numbers, if you look at these graphs on page 34 and 35, which compares method one and method two and the variance around them, I'm not a real mathematician, but when I look at this, it tells me that there isn't much here that's believable.
Okay, just to be clear, this decision, if it goes up, you're right, it doesn't say what happens when you hit the cap, whether it's a trigger or it's a closure or it's a increased monitoring. That's another vote.
Well, that's my point. I'd like to see it all in one motion so that I know what happens, and then that would determine whether I support this or not.
Okay. Anyone wishing to speak against the motion that hasn't? Rodney?
Yeah, I second this motion. I still have a problem with the word cap. To me, it's a bottle cap. Once you hit it, you can't go no further. You can't escape the bottle. Trigger means something very different. Like it triggers an action. It triggers a further action. So, and I know Paul's going to say it's the same thing, but to me, it's not the same.
Bart?
Just remind council members, this is to send a document out to public hearing. So the next vote would be, we want three alternatives. One, the fishery shuts down. One, the fishery, it's a trigger that, does more monitoring. So you want alternatives to go out to the public, not just one that the fishery closes down. So I think you should vote on two or three alternatives for what happens when you reach the cap.
Anyone else in favor of the motion? Mark? In favor? Sally?
Thank you. I am in favor of the motion, although I need to ask a clarifying question. If public comment comes back that these numbers aren't the numbers that the public believes we should use, and instead some of the approaches that were detailed in Appendix D of Document 10, which was put together by Jamie Cornan and Matt Sierra and Steve Correa, Appendix D, which had several approaches other than picking a discrete number, for example, using an average over 3 or 5 years or using a percentage of an average if we wanted to do something like what has been proposed in the scallop fishery to set a bar that's somewhat lower, say 80% of an average. Would that be something that the public, maybe this is a question for Gene, I don't know, would that be something that the public could comment on and say, no, not these numbers, but yes, use an average, a moving average, a percentage of an average, or something like that?
Surely they can say that. Are you asking whether the council can then in the final determination adopt the number? Well, I mean, if it can be supported and analyzed as rational and justified, yes. I mean, I'm not sure I see how that scenario would play out, but this is just like any measure that the public comments on it and then there's subsequent analysis and discussion of it that shows that that is a better number, that those are better numbers for whatever reason, then theoretically, yes, the council could adopt a new number. Now, if you're asking whether that would need to have further public comment or...
I'm asking if, at this point, if this motion goes forward as is and the comment back says, and the council agrees with the comment that says, for example, we should use an average over the last 5 years of river herring catch to determine what an appropriate cap for these areas should be, then is that something that could be included in the final document submitted to
NIST? I mean, you're asking without further public comment, really.
Right.
I mean, I guess it depends on how different it is than what's on the board. I mean, I think if you're looking at wanting to have that option without going back out to public comment, you should try to flush out a range right now within which you could choose the final numbers so that you could anticipate what kind of range the public might suggest. That would be the safest way to do this without having to go back out for public comment.
Against? Anyone wishing to speak against? Jim Fair.
I'm in favor of a cap, the idea of a cap, but I agree with the previous three speakers. I think that these numbers are going to bother a lot of people. They certainly bother me. I'd rather see it based on a stock-wide average of the last 5 years or 3 years, and I'd like to see it definitely tied to the hot spots so that people don't get overly concerned about that end of it.
For? Motion speaking for Ben.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The previous speaker had mentioned if this motion were to end up taking this out of the document, then that would leave the previous thing about tying it to the assessment in 12, and I just expressed my concern about betting that the assessment's going to be ready and acceptable by 2012, and I think it would be important for the council to have the option to act sooner than when that assessment arrives, and it would seem this, I think that would be an important thing for the council to have in this document. Thank you. It wouldn't require you to act, but you'd have the ability to act if you decided. Thanks.
Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Procedurally here, can I offer a perfection to the perfection? No. Okay.
Terry.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. A question following up on Vince's comment. In the document, we still have the river herring catch cap, section 6.5. From my perspective yesterday, voting up Sally's motion, we added a second alternative to that. So that would not mean that we would only have one alternative. We have, from Lori's perspective, two alternatives, one ready to go and one not. It's the public comment that I would be interested in receiving on the concept. Unless we need to flush something through here today, and if that's the case, then I need to be advised. Thank you.
Sally.
Yeah, I think what Terry said is correct, that there's still a completely undeveloped option that's in there, but based on what Gene just said, we need to get some more specifics in there. So to hopefully help move this along, I'm going to vote in favor of this motion, and regardless of what happens up or down on this, I would then offer another motion that would add additional options for catch caps or triggers, so that we're not just leaving the public with just asking them, what do you think? Because it doesn't sound like that's going to work. We need to give specifics, which I will do once this is dispensed with.
Okay, so I'm about to call a question, but before I do, if this goes up, I'm going to immediately seek motions from council members that want to use this as a trigger for some alternative or action. That'll be my first course of action. If this goes down, I'll ask council members if there are any other alternatives for catch caps that they'd like to offer at this time. That's the way I intend to operate. You ready for the question? Gene?
Yeah, is it is the intent of a catch cap to close down a fishery or to trigger something else? Are you leaving that as part of the?
It's just next month.
Okay, so that's understood that the what happens on a catch cap will be developed by the committee or here, perhaps, I guess.
Right. Let me say it again. If this motion passes, my intention is to seek out any council member that wishes to make a motion that defines what happens when this cap is hit.
Right. And if no motion is passed to that effect?
If there are no motions, then the way I read it, the document will be vacant of any mention of what happens when this cap is hit. Therefore, it's a cap without a cause.
All right.
We would have to define what happens when this cap is hit. Council's given, right? The council's given no.
You would have to.
Yeah, it's the next motion.
Right, it's the next motion. The council's given no direction to staff and voted no action through once the cap is hit. We would have to define what happens. We haven't done that yet.
It's possible.
Lori?
If the council wants to clarify after this motion, that would be helpful. I mean, it's a cap. My interpretation of a cap is that when it's hit, it closes the fishery. That's how we've established every other cap, like the haddock catch cap and stuff. So that was, I assumed that was in the motion, that if these are, if in this particular option here, in this motion, if there's a cap for removals on Cape Cod, when that cap is hit, that area will close. Same with the Gulf of Maine or southern New England. So that was my interpretation of this option, but we can certainly, you know, talk about other variations of that after this motion. The other thing I just want to encourage the council with this is, you know, in the past, after we go to public hearings, it's never really good practice to come back after public hearings and make huge changes to the measures that you select. And we've always been told that you cannot go more restrictive after public hearings unless you reanalyze and go back out to public hearings. So I would encourage, number one, to be as clear as possible when we go out to public hearing. I mean, we have to be able to tell people what's actually going to happen in this amendment. And number two, be as inclusive as possible in the range that you may want to consider so that we don't end up having to go back out to public hearings.
Mark?
I have problems with this mainly because I think that the cap or the trigger or the reference value, whatever it is, needs to be scaled according to the consequences of reaching that value. So I think we need alternatives for both the reference value or the cap or whatever and what happens when you get there. And I don't see how passing this would get us there. I what I'd like to see is us vote this down and then offer up another motion that contains all those elements.
Dave Gaethel.
Well, based on what Lori said, I mean, I'm willing to offer a motion to amend this to say what's going to happen, to put alternatives in, if that's a way forward.
Let's try it, Dave.
Okay. So the motion to amend would be to add language that there would be three options once the cap is reached. One, the fishery in the affected stock area closes. Two, the hot spots in the affected stock areas close. And three, fishing in hot spots in affected areas are 100% monitored.
There's a second. Seconded by Mark.
I believe that gives three options that range from the draconian to basically just amping up the monitoring to get better data. And the public could comment on those three options, and we could pick one. So it doesn't mean that the fishery automatically closes when the cap is reached. That's really the only way I could support this, because I just don't think we have the information to close the fishery.
Anyone wishing to speak against the motion to amend? Against the motion to amend. Dr. Pierce?
Well, first, I don't like the fact that there's an option to close. I think it makes no sense to close at this particular point in time, not to have bringing it out to the public hearing again gives a false message to the public that indeed that is a viable alternative for us to consider, that once the cap is reached, the fishery will close. In light of the uncertainty of these numbers, the PDT consensus statement, everything they have said, it's a bad strategy. It's not defensible. With regard to number three, fishing in hotspots, 100% monitored. So my question would be, who pays for that? And my other question is, how should the public discuss and comment on this particular strategy in relationship to the options that we're bringing to public hearing regarding observer coverage levels and other options that relate to catch monitoring? It just seems to confuse the issue altogether. Those are my two my concerns and questions about this particular motion to describe what would happen after the cap is reached.
Anyone wishing to speak in favor? Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. It wasn't exactly the way I would have worded it, but it's adequate, and it seems to fit in with the PDT consensus statement on page 14, so I will support the motion.
Against? Terry?
These three options don't make the previous motion any better. We're still not listening to the PDT's advice, and we're adopting numbers that have no basis. I can't support it.
In favor? Mark?
Okay, this gets us halfway to what I was trying to say earlier, and if it's okay with David, I'd like to add that maybe for the cap that we specify that it's either we can give three options, the max, the average, or the median of the 5 years area-specific values. So.
That's fine with me, but I think it actually goes back to the original makers, whether they accept it, I think. I'm not sure at this point.
We're getting real complex.
Make it in another motion.
Yeah, I think I prefer to have it as a separate motion. Another alternative for the cap side of it. Vince.
Well, again, Mr. Chairman, some speakers have already talked about where these numbers come from. There's disagreement about how much faith people want to put in them, but there was an origin where the numbers came from. And I think what you have here is two important concepts. One is whether or not this bycatch is going to be capped, and number two, potentially what could happen when it does get, when that cap is reached. And all you're doing is putting in a document for the public to comment and develop further. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Anyone else? Sally?
Yeah, I support this motion, and I would say especially since it's linked only to the underlying cap motion that has specific numbers, some of which are very high, that it is in fact quite responsible for the council to consider closing the sea herring fishery if it catches a million pounds of river herring. So I think that's a completely legitimate alternative to have in the range, and I'll support this and hope that the next motion will give us another alternative for another way to calculate the cap with associated actions that would happen once the cap was reached.
Doug.
I was a little more comfortable with this. I was going to present a similar motion, but I have given the data that we've, the analysis that Jamie Cornain has done, I don't see closing the entire stock area is a reasonable option. I think directing the closures to the hot spots when this is triggered, and I still, based on the PDT report, we should be using the word trigger, not cap, and possibly an option to increase the monitoring. If you want to go into those hot spots, you'd be required to pay, industry would be required to pay for at-sea monitoring, or we don't have a dockside monitoring program anymore, so that wouldn't be an option, so it would be at-sea monitoring. But closing the entire affected stock area when we've done, the PDT has done a tremendous amount of analysis that shows that there are discrete hot spots where this river herring catches would be, and why you'd close the other areas, I just don't understand why you do that when there are, and not to mention the fact that there are very different magnitudes of the hot spots depending on whether you're talking about the winter springtime, which has a much higher incidence of river herring catches in the bottom trawl survey versus the summer fall period. So that's my discomfort. I like the way this is going, but as long as there's anything in there that says close the affected stocked area, it's just not a reasonable alternative. And the other question that I'd like to ask while I have the mic, if you might, is this, given the observer coverage we have right now, is this something that we actually can do an in-season closure on? Now, I don't know if Lori can answer that right now, but it's something that I think the PDT needs to look at, given the amount of data and the amount of sampling. Can we do the analysis to do some kind of in-season closure, or are we going to have some kind of trigger for the following year? Something that would have to be fleshed out in the document.
I agree with Doug. Again, I always get hung up with this NEPA stuff, how many alternatives you have to provide all the reasonable and unreasonable alternatives. I mean, I consider closing the entire stock area an unreasonable alternative, but I put it up there because I thought we had to provide kind of from soup to nuts type options. So I kind of guess I'd look to maybe to Gene or Pat. If we don't have to do that, then if the seconder is happy, I'd take out the one that closes the entire area.
People seem to get stuck on the rule of three kind of thing, and I don't. That's not how it works. I mean, if you've got a set of alternatives, and this is actually expanding on the number of alternatives, I don't think you need to include something that would be considered unreasonable.
Okay. Well, then the seconder already agrees that we could strike number one. The fishery and the affected stock area closes, and just leave the other two.
It's been debated, so if there's no objection, I'll allow it. If there's objection, I won't. Is there objection to striking the closure? Without objection. Dr. Pierce?
Yeah, my intent with regard to river herring is to afford a great deal of protection to river herring, and to focus on alternative three in this document that is entitled River Herring Protection. And maybe I'm biased by my preference for the strategy that I will eventually adopt, or likely adopt, and that is the one that shows closed areas, alternative 632, where hotspots would be closed to directed fishing for herring, depending upon the time of the year, and we have charts that identify that. So this motion confuses me, or because it says that once the cap is reached, hotspots in the affected stock area is closed, fishing in hotspots in affected areas are 100% monitored. Well, I'm looking at the alternative that would close them down to begin with. So they'll be closed, and there's no need for monitoring because there's no fishery in the area. So this seems to dilute or take away the emphasis from what I consider to be a far more reasonable, sensible approach that we developed working with the plan development team that did great work to identify where these hot spots are and where there's a much higher probability of there being river herring bycatch by all the different gear types. So for that reason, I can't vote against this because it actually seems to detract from what I consider to be the more important river herring protection measure.
Lori, help me out. This just puts a link between the cap and the range of actions that could occur when the cap or the triggers hit. How is this different, or does it diminish 6.3.2?
Well, now that the option to close the entire area has been eliminated, I think the linkage here is better to the two alternatives that are in the document regarding the hotspots. And I was actually going to follow up with a clarifying question on this. The way that I read this, number one, the hotspots in the affected stock area are closed. So that I would interpret as the protection areas, because those are the closed areas. So number one provides the linkage to the protection alternative. And then number two says fishing in the hotspots in the affected areas are monitored. So that links back to the monitoring alternative, and I would assume that that would apply to the monitoring areas. So I see number one is linking to the protection alternative, and number two is linking to the monitoring alternative. And because these are, this in this motion anyway, because these are not fishery-wide quotas or caps that would close entire management areas or the fishery, I think there's a pretty good link here between these measures and the two alternatives that are already in the document.
Is this more consistent with the discussions and documents the PDT worked on?
Well, this is consistent with the PDT statement that there may be some utility in using some sort of a cap-based approach to trigger other management responses, and it's consistent with the PDT advice to not use a quota-based management approach for this issue right now in this fishery.
Thank you. Pat?
I have to admit, though, I am struggling a little bit with the point that David made. It seems to me that the way this is now crafted, it's actually makes the proposed protection areas and monitoring provisions potentially more liberal instead of, I think, what people are intending, because there are already triggers for those, or in some cases in the monitoring it's just required from the start. So I'm still struggling a little bit with how they fit together, whether the triggers that are currently proposed stay in there and this is an additional trigger, so if one of the others is triggered, something happens, or whether this replaces the current triggers. And I do think that, the question about whether or not there's sufficient observer coverage to monitor this is a valid one. The triggers that are currently in there for the protection areas, I think, are just based on one tow, if I remember correctly, in some cases, which obviously is very different than trying to project or extrapolate from what may be limited observer coverage. So I'm getting confused.
Anyone else? Lori?
Perhaps I can try to clarify a little bit. I don't think there are any triggers in the document right now. What we have in the document right now is a set of areas, monitoring and avoidance areas, that were based on some thresholds that we used to identify those areas, tows, amounts of fish per tow in the observer data and things like that. We've taken out the move-along rules. So there are no more triggers for any specific action in those areas. We just have a suite of areas that we may do 100% observer coverage in those areas, or we may do the closed area one sampling provisions in those areas. And then we have another alternative that has another more smaller set of areas that would be protection areas, and those were based on specific thresholds to identify those areas. But the way it's proposed in the document is we just have those areas and the areas would be closed. I think we came up with a couple of options on last night. I can't remember on who would be prevented from fishing in those areas. But right now there are no other triggers in the documents. We have monitoring and avoidance areas where we may have some stuff going on for monitoring, or we have another alternative with protection areas where we just have closed areas. Now what this does is say that we're gonna have a trigger when, if this passes, and as another alternative, say we don't do the protection alternative and we don't implement the closed areas in the amendment, we may implement the monitoring alternative and we may decide, if this option is selected, that the cap would trigger the closed areas. You know, sometime during the fishing year, and we'd have the monitoring going on in the monitoring areas. So that's the way I interpret it. I don't think there are other triggers for additional actions at this point in the document. I think we've kind of cleaned all that out of there.
So just to help me clarify, so under 6.3.1, where it says at least one total river herring catch greater than 1,233 pounds, et cetera, that's how the protection areas were identified versus a trigger for, okay, sorry, thanks.
Anything further on the motion? We got Doug and then Frank.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Now that this has been modified, I feel a lot more comfortable with it. I see this as essentially adding two additional options, one to the monitoring section of the document and the river herring monitoring section of the document, and another one to the river herring protection area of the document. And I do think at some point we're going to have to give the PDT the latitude to determine when these things would go into effect. It's an issue. For example, if you hit the river herring catch cap in Area 2 in January, are you closed for the rest of the year? Are you closed for that 6 months? Or can the, or if, for example, in Area 3 you're closed, you hit the catch cap towards the end of the year, and you are only closed for December, are you going to reopen the following year? There's something that we're going to have to work on as far as the timing here, I think that's something we'll have to deal with. But I, at this point, I'm in favor of this motion.
Frank.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll support the motion. I do share some of most of David's concerns on, you know, if the appropriate areas to close, that's probably what we should be doing for the protection of these fish. But I'm a little concerned, and not concerned, maybe confused, and Laurie, you can help me out. The hot spots are determined by observer coverage on where river herring have been observed. So we're saying that the observer coverage is good enough to close down an area based on observations, but we're saying that the observer coverage is not good enough to project out what is being caught in those areas. So what we're doing here is picking and choosing what we want to from the data to justify what we want to do. And that's the way I see it. And I see a couple of heads being shaken, so, but that's my confusion here on how we're interpreting the data.
Yeah, it's just the difference in the way the data is used. It's not picking and choosing. The protection areas were identified basically based on the information we have on presence of the or co-occurrence of the two. But for a projection, you do need at least some minimum level of observer coverage to be able to reasonably project forward.
Yeah, and I mean, just to that point, keep in mind that under these options, you'll be monitoring these caps through observer data.
Anything further from the council on this option to go forward to the DEIS? Ready for the question on the motion as amended? All those in favor, raise your hand. I have 11 opposed, 3 abstentions, 1 abstention. The motion to amend passes 11-3 with 1 abstention. Now we're on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Doug.
Given that we add these things in, I'd like to move to amend that we change it from the wording from a cap to a trigger.
Ready for the question? All those in favor, please raise your hand. Twelve opposed. Motion carries. Motion to amend carries 12-2. Now we're back on the main motion as amended. Anything further? Mark.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move that the motion be amended to indicate that, that there be 3 catch trigger alternatives. 1, the maximum, 2, the average, and or 3, the median of the 2005-2009 area-specific bycatch estimates.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jim Fair. Discussion on the motion to amend. Frank Blount.
Thank you, Mark. Is your intention to have that the same as the original motion, where each stock area would be separate, so each stock area could have the highest, the medium, or the average? Or would it just be for the year?
That's correct. That's what I meant by area specific.
Okay.
Anything further? 3 different ways to calculate the stock area trigger. Terry.
Yeah, clarification, Mark, and that would be removing the numbers that were in the original motion?
That's correct.
Anything further? Ready for the question? On the motion to amend, all those in favor, raise your hand. 14 opposed. 1 abstentions, none. Motion carries 14-1. Now we're back on the main motion as amended again. Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. 13 opposed, 2. Dr. Pierce.
It'll be very important for the public to understand how these estimates of catch were calculated. I would hope that in the document that goes to public hearing, there is some good explanation as to how these numbers were generated, reflecting on the plan development team report, describing, for example, what created the estimate, the high estimate of catch of river herring. Was that an actual catch? Was that an extrapolation based upon a sampling of one trip in one area at one time? I suggest to the chair that, to be completely honest and open and transparent, and with those who will want to comment on this particular strategy, that kind of understanding needs to be provided, and not just for the public, but for this council when we once again return to this issue after public hearing. I really don't want to spend a lot of time arguing about how the numbers were generated, how uncertain they are, you know, the nature of the extrapolation, are they real or unreal, how reflective are they of actual catches in the fishery itself. So I hope a motion isn't needed to that effect, Mr. Chairman. I would just strongly encourage that particular description to be provided, because it will be extremely helpful to those who attend and comment about this about these different options and size of caps or triggers.
Yeah, I'll turn to the committee chair and ask that he make sure that the description specifically for this section describe the basis of the numbers and the estimates, where they came from, how they were generated. Doug?
Yes, that was my intent. I think it's a very important point that you made. I think it's something that needs to be clearly described in the document, particularly the public hearing document, because there is a tremendous amount of uncertainty that the PDT has identified here, and I too am uncomfortable with the numbers as you've heard before.
Okay. Lori, what were the other outstanding items?
Well, if we're done with river herring, groundfish closed area access, measures to address spawning fish, and then just some final discussion about how to proceed. Do you want me to just very briefly? Okay. On the measures to address midwater trawl access to groundfish closed areas, this is on page 5 of the discussion document or the decision document. And then the alternatives are in the table on page 14. These are generally pretty straightforward alternatives. They're kind of policy-based decisions. I mean, we've, you know, midwater, this is always the discussion about these measures. The thing that needs clarification is who these measures apply to. We're talking about the year-round groundfish closed areas, and there's a figure in your document that shows what these areas are, which I can't find now. It's on page 89 of the document. The direction from the council was to develop criteria for midwater trawl access to the groundfish closed areas. So we just need a little bit of clarification. I mean, the options, the alternatives are in there. Status quo, apply the closed area one provisions, 100% observer coverage, or just close the areas to the vessels. I think from my perspective, the alternatives are relatively straightforward. We just need to clarify who they're going to apply to. Are we talking about just midwater trawl gear? There is purseine activity in the Western Gulf of Maine closed area. So the question, it's not really a question about the bottom trawls. It's more about should this apply as well to purseines? Midwater trawl gear, they could have permit category A, B, or C. It's doubtful any of them have D. But, you know, are these measures that we want to apply to certain permit categories in the fishery or gear types or vessels? If we could get some clarification on that, it would help. And that's about it on these alternatives, unless folks have other ideas to consider at this point.
So as they're written now, all the alternatives only apply to midwater single and pair trawl?
Yes. And we just... I just... It, need to clarify that, because the gear is not specific to a permit category. So we just want to make sure to write it clear enough that we know which vessels we're talking about. And, you know, keeping in mind, obviously, you know, just like when we set the per se fixed gear only area, I mean, vessels can switch gears, which may not be a problem. I mean, the information that we have suggests that per se gear is not catching ground fish. So it's just a policy decision that needs to be made about whether these measures are intended to apply to certain gear types or permit categories, or just which vessels we're talking about.
Right. So right now, if you were to go, if there was no more action from the council, it would only apply to midwater and para. You were looking for an affirmative from the council.
I'm just looking for an affirmative. If you look through the document right now, it just says, you know, XXX herring vessels, because we weren't sure whether to write it as category A and B or just herring vessels using midwater trawl gear. It's a pretty straightforward clarification. I just don't want to write it in a way that wasn't intended by the council.
Council? David?
Yeah. Do you need a motion or... Okay, a motion to have the measures to address groundfish closed areas apply to midwater trawls, both single and paired.
Is there a second? Seconded by Jim Fair. Discussion? Any discussion? Jim Fair. Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Fifteen. Opposed? Abstentions? None. None. Motion carries 15-0-0. Moving on, Lori.
Okay. The next issue in the document is management measures to protect spawning fish. There haven't been any goals and objectives identified or any specific management alternatives or measures developed. And there is a discussion paper in your binder materials that provides all of the information that the PDT was able to put together over the last couple of months to sort of initiate the discussion on this issue.
Well, regrettably, unfortunately, we're not, I don't believe, we're in a position to take any action today on spawning protection, sea herring spawning protection like we do have through the ASMSC and the Gulf of Maine. But it is my hope that once this document becomes a regulation and we do have an at-sea monitoring program, which has been a goal of this council for years, that we can begin to use that resource to work collaboratively with the state's dockside sampling programs and the at-sea monitoring program to begin to define, either through sampling or other protocols yet to be developed, a better understanding of when and where spawning activity is occurring. Again, it's regrettable, but we're not in a position today, in my opinion, to craft measures, regulatory measures, or alternatives. Terry?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. I agree with you completely. So I'm going to make a motion to remove Section 8.0, Measures to Protect Spawning Fish, from the document.
Seconded by Rip. Discussion? Paul Howard.
Yes, Gene. In order to protect spawning fish, do we need an amendment or can we do it by framework? The reason I ask this is, you know, when we did habitat, one of our amendments identified habitat. And so if there's enough information that can identify spawning areas, then I think it should be in the plan. They're identified. And then we can... You know, as stock assessments come in and we need more protection, it seems to me that you might want to protect the spawning fish without having to wait 2 years or 3 years to do an amendment, because as soon as we do another amendment, there'll be more added. So I think the goal ought to be to be able to, subsequent to a stock assessment, take some action in a framework to protect spawning herring. And if it means identifying the areas in this and then being able to framework measures down the road, I think we should do that.
Jane? So you're suggesting that this amendment identify the spawning areas without any management action connected to them until further down the road when you might close or restrict access to the area based on those identified spawning? I mean, I think that helps, if that's what you're asking, in justifying that as a framework. I imagine, I don't have the framework options in front of me, I imagine it mentions closed areas. I doubt if it mentions spawning for protection of spawning per se. I don't know if you know, Laurie, off the top of your head. We could check that. You know, to the extent that closing areas for spawning purposes is not really contemplated now in the FMP or the regulations, then I think it may be problematic to do it by framework if in fact the regulations can be reasonably read to include possibility of closures, then a framework might be appropriate in the future. That might be tempered to some degree by how extensive or controversial such a measure might be. But certainly if you do identify the spawning areas now with the possibility that they could be subject to closures for protection, and you analyze to the extent that you can, qualitative or otherwise, in this document, then a framework may be appropriate in the future.
Yeah, my question was similar to Paul's, but I would go at it just a little bit differently. I don't think we're even ready to identify them right now. I think the thing to do is to put it on the list of frameworkable items as a specific item that instead of saying closed areas, say closed spawning areas, and deal with it that way. Because I've looked at this document and I'm not sure I even agree with the areas that have been outlined. I think they've missed some, and I think they may have drastically overdrawn some others. So, if we have to identify them today to make them frameworkable, I wouldn't want to do it.
Dr. Pierce.
Yeah, I appreciate the work that went into the preparation of this discussion paper, summarizing all of the spawning closures that we have in place, the history for the development. I've been involved in the development of those spawning area protection strategies since day one. It's been a very controversial management measure that's involved a lot of work with the industry and eventually the states to agree on an approach to provide protection for spawning herring. We did it for the Gulf of Maine area. We're not in a position right now to do it for Georges Bank. I agree with the chair. Lori and the plant development team, the staff, have got a lot of work to do to get this catch monitoring amendment completed. I would rather have them focus their attention on all of that work, preparing us for public hearing, than, of course, after the public hearing, getting this council ready to make final decisions on catch monitoring. As it stands right now, all we have are generalized areas where spawning might occur. So that's not going to be sufficient. More time needs to be developed for the identification of those specific areas where they spawn. However, I would wager that once we are through with our habitat amendment, once we are ready to implement strategies to protect habitat, that we'll find ourselves with de facto spawning closures because herring tend to spawn in gravelly areas. I would wager a lot of money on the likely outcome of the final recommendations for habitats need to be protected, and the kind of gear that needs to be removed from those areas or seriously restricted from those areas, it's going to include those areas where herring spawn, almost guaranteed. So there's no need for us to dwell on this issue now and move it forward now. I think it'll all fall into place. But once again, let's get this catch monitoring work done. That's top priority. as well as, of course, the effort that we put into protection for river herring.
Gene, for clarification, and then Terry.
Yeah, I just looked up the regulation on frameworkable measures, and it actually says closed areas other than spawning closures are frameworkable.
It's the end of the debate. Terry.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. As I think about additional measures to protect spawning fish, and the length of time it's taken us to get this document to the point we're at right now, I think, to Dr. Pierce's point, we need to focus on the monitoring. Take that information and then collaborate with the ASMFC to put forward some sort of fluid area protection. We do it well with Area 1A. Doug and Dave and I meet fairly regularly to fine-tune the spawning restrictions in there. I think it's a more fluid process and far more appropriate.
Anything further? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous. Unanimous. Lori.
Well, that's all I have. So I think at this point, I'm just, you know, I think we need to just decide how to proceed, what we're doing. Are we approving something? Am I leaving this meeting starting to write an EIS, or are we going back to the drawing board, or are we shooting for September for an EIS?
I'd like to see a motion to get staff writing the DEIS. Doug?
I'll make that motion to move forward with this document for development of a draft EIS, excuse me.
Seconded by Rodney. Discussion? Ready for the question? All those in favor, raise your hand. Unanimous, 15. Lori.
At this point, given the complexity of the document and the work in front of the PDT, I mean, I think we can shoot for trying to get an EIS approved by this council and ready for public hearings and selecting preferred alternatives, hopefully in September. I mean, I think it's going to be challenging, especially because things were added to the document today that haven't really been totally fleshed out yet. So I think we just need to, I mean, there needs to be some guidance maybe or some determination as to how we're going to get the loose ends wrapped up between now and September. We passed a motion yesterday to have a measure that's just simply going to require dealers to weigh fish. But I just really don't anticipate it being that simple. And at some point over the next couple of months, there will be a lot of questions about that. There was talk about getting input from various people and groups on that particular issue. And then the measure to address net slippage has some questions that remain unresolved. And then the catch cap options, the catch trigger options, obviously there'll be just some things that we're going to need some loose ends wrapped up on between now and September.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on that. I think you've identified and clearly have an understanding of what's in the document. Those issues which you think are likely to have loose ends, if you could work with the PDT on those issues at the front end. And I understand some of them are all linked together, so it's not as simple as working on an issue in isolation. But if you could front-load your work on those issues and come back to the council in April or June for clarification, I think that would be the best course forward.
With or without any additional committee or other group involvement, just straight to the council?
I think the first cut would be best to come back to the council, and if there's things we can't handle, then we can have that discussion at that meeting. Want to free up the PDT to not have a lot of additional meetings in between our council meetings so that you can get to writing. Is there anything further, Lori? Doug? Okay. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll take up today's agenda. Up today's agenda.